This is an Audio Holdings production.
Call of the Wild. Buck did not read the newspapers, or he would have known that trouble was brewing, not alone for himself, but for every Tidewater dog, strong of muscle and with warm, long hair from Puget Sound to San Diego. Because men, groping in the Arctic darkness, had found a yellow metal, and because steamship and transportation companies were booming the find. Thousands of men were rushing into the Northland. These men wanted dogs, and the dogs they wanted were heavy dogs with strong muscles by which to toil and furry coats to protect them from the frost. Buck lived at a big house in the sun-kissed Santa Clara Valley. Judge Miller's place, it was called. It stood back from the road, half hidden among the trees, through which glimpses could be caught of the wide, cool veranda that ran around its four sides. At the rear were great stables, where a dozen grooms and boys held forth. Then there was the pumping plant for the artesian well, and the big cement tank where Judge Miller's boys took their morning plunge and kept cool in the hot afternoon. And over this great demesne, Buck ruled. Here he was born, and here he had lived the 4 years of his life. It was true, there were other dogs, but they did not count. They came and went, resided in the populous kennels, or lived obscurely in the recesses of the house. But Buck was neither house dog nor kennel dog. The whole realm was his. He plunged into the swimming tank or went hunting with the judge's sons. He escorted Molly and Alice, the judge's daughters, on long twilight or early morning rambles. On wintry nights, he lay at the judge's feet before the roaring library fire. He carried the judge's grandsons on his back, or rolled them in the grass and guarded their footsteps.